Thank you to Paul for all the work that he put into our service this morning. We've been talking the last week and this week and for a few weeks more about the upside down kingdom. And in a sense, we've had an upside down church service. God is faithful. God doesn't change. But the kingdom of God is full of surprises. It's one more of those paradoxes that we find right through the heart of the story of God. That these two very different truths are both true in Jesus. So thank you, Paul, for reminding us of that. I actually would have loved to have preached out there for where I'm going today, but we're here, and that's great. Last week, we leapt from passage to passage, exploring the upside-down kingdom of Jesus. We looked at the Magnifica, Mary's prayer. We looked at Isaiah's prophecies about the coming Messiah. And we ended last week with the upside-down kingdom that we find in the Sermon on the Mount, where all the old certainties and the old beliefs are tipped on their heads in Jesus, where common wisdom is challenged by the kingdom of God. Today I want to keep searching out the upside down kingdom, but I want to look at it in regard to prayer. Prayer is not restricted to the Christian faith. All faiths have ideas about prayer and how one approaches God or gods. What Jesus teaches about prayer is upside down compared to the nations around Israel. It's also upside down compared to some of what had become common practice in Israel among the Jews. His teaching on prayer is upside down in many ways because of its very simplicity. Complex, shouty prayers are not what Jesus teaches. Maybe a lot of you in this room just sighed and you resigned yourself to leaving here this morning feeling really guilty because you're a failure at prayer. I'd like to think I'm wrong, but I suspect I'm not. Lots of us feel like we're really not very good at praying, that we don't do it enough, or we don't know how to pray, or we hide from God. So we're sort of praying, but we're really not letting ourselves come before God. Most of us don't feel like we're good at praying. We know people, all of us, and we admire those who we know to have a really profound connection to God in the ways that they pray. And we know that they are fruitful. There are people who, if we need prayer, we seek them out because we know that they know something about prayer that we don't. On a score of 1 to 10, a lot of us would give ourselves 2 for trying. Sometimes we might not even get 2. I think Jesus is well aware of how much human beings struggle with prayer. On the hardest night of his life, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed drops of blood. Such was his anguish. And he asked the disciples who came with him to wait and watch with him. And they fell asleep. He knows that human beings struggle with coming before God. But he reinstated these same disciples after his resurrection. Such is his grace with our weakness. If you think of the thief on the cross, Jesus hung in the middle. On either side of him, there were two thieves. One mocked him. The other asked Jesus to remember him in his kingdom. His prayer was all of 9 words as he hung on a cross, having lived a life that resulted in his crucifixion. And Jesus promised, "You will be with me today in paradise." This is the grace that is offered to us in our faltering attempts to pray. It was offered to them, it's offered to us. Jesus is always the consummate teacher. So before he began teaching the crowds how to pray, he first tells them how not to pray. So let's clear the decks first, folks. This is how you don't pray. And he targets people who pray with an eye to their audience, who are show-offs in prayer, people who are diligent but who need everyone else to know about it. So we read this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Now, the background to this is that Jewish people prayed fixed prayers 3 times a day. So there were times of prayer and people knew what those times were. And some people in Jerusalem were managing very conveniently to get themselves right on street corners at the time that it was the time for noonday prayer. Perfect. They can be seen by everybody who goes past. It's this very public way of praying, this showing off their piety. And Jesus says, no, not so with you. Don't be like that. Please pray, but not for the audience of other people. Other people loved praying long, detailed prayers. And what they were actually doing was emulating the pagans around them, the people who feared their gods and felt that if they offered many, many, many offerings and they prayed very long, complex prayers, that their gods would hear them. And again, he says, it's not like that for you. There's a better way. And here is what he says next. "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." This very simple prayer that Jesus gave us can be used in exactly the form that he gave it to us. If we feel like we're a zero or a one or a two at prayer, one simple way to change our prayer lives is to use the pattern that Jesus himself used of praying three times a day. When we wake up in the morning, at lunchtime, and when we go to bed at night, to pray the Lord's Prayer in exactly the form that Jesus gave it to us. Jesus isn't opposed to set prayers. He's opposed to showing off in our prayer. Could we say the Lord's Prayer three times a day? Could that be something that we commit ourselves to bring ourselves before God three times a day? We all wake up, we all eat lunch, and we all go to bed. To set those times as times where we will say the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer can also be a framework for other praying, a structure for how to approach God. I want to have a look at it bit by bit. And I want to start with the address, Our Father. We skip over that. We go, yep, we're talking to God, Our Father. But we need to notice some things about this. It's not my Father. A lot of our songs are about me and my and mine and I. But let's notice that this prayer that Jesus gave us is corporate. It's about our Father. To share a Father is a momentous shaper of our identity. If we share a Father, we have a lot in common with others who share that same Father. We've got lots and lots of biological brothers and sisters in this church. James is still discovering who some of you are. And that was a big thing for me, was working out who was related to who, because you shared a Father. We are a family with other people if we have the same Father that they have. So consider this prayer. This is how Jesus says to pray. And it begins with Our Father. I want you to look around this room, like I really do want you to look around this room. Look back, look forward, see who's here. That's uncomfortable, isn't it? Each one of these people has the same Father in Christ as you do. Think about your own parents. Think about your own biological father and what that means with the siblings that you have, or perhaps don't have, I don't know. This is even more significant. We share a father with everyone else in this room and out at Blast and out at the barbecue. It would be lovely to think that being family erases conflict. But it doesn't. Even in a small church like this, in every church, there are people who feel like irritants to us for all sorts of reasons. Other people might feel like the favoured child who gets the lion's share of all the attention. Or the annoying sibling who just does that thing all the time. Every time you see them, they're doing that thing. And that thing's different for lots of us. Some people just get under our skin. And often it's mutual. We get under theirs. But sometimes those tensions turn into something incredibly destructive. They cause divisions. They cause a lack of generosity. And they cause us to forget that when we come to God, we come together to our Father. And we can't do that if we're carrying a grudge. That's the first two words. We might be here for a while, but we've got lunch coming. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father is the living God who dwells in heaven, who is perfectly holy and always has been, who is the creator of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. This is who we approach. And not even on our knees. We can come to him at any time. We come to the one who made and holds together everything. And we come asking, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. God is already sovereign in heaven. The angels obey him. Heaven is in accordance with his desires. But he longs to see his sovereign reign and rule come onto the earth. For the kingdom of God to become fully present for a time, in a place, for a moment. For the glory and beauty of heaven to be turned into an earthly reality too. Can I have that slide, please, Josie? The kingdom of God, which Jesus came to bring in, is a society doing the will of God on earth. Often Jesus talks about the kingdom, but we're not too sure what the kingdom is. Notice that it's a society, not individuals, but it's a group of people doing the will of God on earth. Is the church, is this church a society doing the will of God on earth? The kingdom of God is his royal reign on the earth. It is a place where Jesus is given full authority. To pray for his kingdom to come is to pray that the kingdom of God will grow, that there will be more places and more freedom in those places, more freedom in this church for Jesus' reign to be realized. More freedom in this area, in this state, in this country. And it's also us praying that Jesus will return in glory to take his rightful reign on the earth for once and for all. The first half of this prayer is all about God, which is where true prayer always needs to start. And it needs to start for it to be healthy prayer. It needs to start with some wonder about who God is. Our Father. If our prayer doesn't start with God, it's in danger of becoming self-absorbed pondering, majoring on our thoughts, our fears, our longings, but not really in communion with what God desires. But the Lord's Prayer is also about us. So it brings together a holy God and us. Give us today our daily bread. For many people in the world, that would be enough. Their daily bread. Enough daily bread for them and for their children. God knows our daily needs are for more than bread. And he addresses a lot of those needs in the Sermon on the Mount. He knows that we need clothing and shelter and food. But if we're praying this prayer sincerely, it can never just be about our needs. We pray for human needs across the face of the earth, for the hungry, the homeless, the poor, and the destitute. And of course, if we pray like that, we might need to be prepared to do something about addressing those needs, to become a part of God's answer to our own prayer. And forgive us our debts. When we sit still, we become very aware, which is one of the reasons we don't sit still often. We become aware that we need forgiveness. Jesus assumes that it will be necessary very regularly, like every day or three times a day. This forgiveness is available to us whenever we sin. We don't have to wait until the point where we are dragging around this enormous burden of sin before we come to God. We can finish the day free of the burden of whatever we've done that day. We don't have to carry it overnight or into tomorrow or all through this week or until Easter. We need forgiveness, and it's available. Forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. Forgiveness has a condition attached to it. If we won't open our hearts to forgive others, our hearts remain closed to God's offer of forgiveness. It's as if there's a valve there. If we won't release forgiveness, we can't receive it. Forgiveness, both given and received, are intrinsically connected to the state of our souls. Now, I don't want to pretend that forgiveness is easy, nor do I want to suggest cheap forgiveness. Some of us are carrying extraordinary damage done by the sin of other people. And sometimes we are trite in how we counsel one another about dealing with that brokenness and that scarring, as if it can be fixed like that. Sometimes God does that for us, and some healing comes instantly. But some forgiveness will be a process where Jesus reveals little by little what needs to happen. And he says, I want you to let go of this. And then a bit further on, he'll say, well done. But now, I want you to let go of this. And then many, many years later, we might suddenly hear the voice of Jesus again saying, and this, will you forgive this? Will you let go of that debt? Will you let me set you free? Because you are still tied to this person who has a debt. I want you to be free. Jesus is gentle with us about our need to forgive. Let's be gentle with one another. Let's let his compassion be our compassion and his time frame our time frame. We have no right to turn someone else's cheek. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Testing times come upon the earth regularly. And even when we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we still need to pray for deliverance. There will be times of darkness. Jesus assumes that. There'll be times of temptation that come out of our own hearts. Times of darkness for the church and for our country. So we need to pray that you, that we, will be kept from the worst of it. Kept safe from the evil one, who is always nipping around the edges, trying to drag us away from our freedom in Christ. And that's it. This is the simple prayer that Jesus tells us is his model for praying. Now that's not the last word on prayer, but this is the first one that Jesus gave. Jesus knows what we need. Our Heavenly Father longs to supply our every need every day. But he wants to talk about it with us. He is not a clockmaker God who made the world, made us, wound it up and walked away and left it to its own devices. He is intimately involved. He is the living God who wants to be involved in this hour, this week, in your home, in your conversations, in your car, in your thoughts in the middle of the night. He wants to be engaging with that, with you, to bring together our earthly existence and a holy God. This is what prayer is, the bringing together. We usually finish this prayer with the word amen. To say amen to something is to sign my name to it. It's to say, I confirm the truth of this. I authorize it. Amen. So be it. I wonder if you would join me in saying the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to read it from my Bible because I pray about four different versions of it. So I'm going to pray the one. In fact, you might put it back up on the screen for us, Josie, so that we're all singing from the same hymn sheet here. Let's pray together and let's finish with an amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. If anything that I've said this morning has made you think you would love someone to pray with you, there will be elders up here praying afterwards. And what they say, what you say to them, what they say to you, is confidential. We don't get together as a group of elders and go, oh, so-and-so asked about this. It's between you and the elder who prays for you. So if you think you would like prayer this morning, I encourage you to come forward and get it. Thank you.